rolling and oiling and
cry, baby.
I'm talking about, you know.
I really wish you would let that story go, because it seems like you're blaming me more than anything.
they said it hurt dollar holiday.
No, it ain't even that. If you can drive, you can drive. But you just
man, won't I can drive.
Story, you won't let that story go.
I remember we were.
I'm supposed to know.
We went to Chicago. I had a driver driving. We were running a team. And something told me to wake up. I woke up, right? And he's turning on. He's trying to turn, make a turn. Come on, you know how to have him side highway. You got to drive in Chicago. He's coming off the side highway.
You got a truck, you got to know how to drive.
No, I'm saying, and this is wintertime, though. Oh. But I'm saying, you know how you get off from exits, like, and I don't know what kind of, he wasn't using the GPS, clearly. But it was a sharp turn. So I get up to him about to knock off the whole side of the trail. I said, hold on. I said that, I didn't want to frighten him too much. So I correct him, so yeah, you know, tighten up, go the other way, give some more room so you can make that turn. You make the turn. We're going to Nestle, I think. There's a chocolate factory over there.
Yeah.
He went down the wrong road in the snow.
Oh.
I had to tell him, my brother, all right, let me take it here. I had to back up.
So after the bad turn, you got back into bed?
Oh, no.
So if you stayed up there, you let him make the wrong turn then?
No, I didn't let him make the wrong turn.
You made the wrong turn.
He was following the GPS. You know how sometimes GPS tells you to go, you know what I'm saying? So it gave him a route that was wrong. So I'm watching GPS, and it's trying to tell him to back into a place he can't back it into. So I'm like, damn. And there's cars on both sides. There's snow everywhere. He's a new driver. I'm like, oh my God. And now I'm like, I have to save the day, you know? So, but I remember that. And I was like, yeah.
Here we go. I have to save
the day. Oh, no, I have to save the day.
You got called to save the day.
For real.
So you saved the day.
Yeah, nothing to love, man. I had to save the day. But I backed up. I don't know how many blocks. I'm like, bro, blocks.
But I had to do that in New York. That GPS took me away and got to a bridge. I had a bad by 2 miles, so I could turn. I don't know. I'm like, man,
was you on a parkway, sir?
I don't know where I was at. Okay. I was on where the GPS said go.
Right. Well, you know, they got up in New York, they got bridges say 12-8. You can see it say 12-8 all day long, but for some reason, that 13-6 would be on there. That's terrifying. 12-10, but we could be on that, and you follow other trucks. Because I was up there the first time with New York, I'm not going back.
I ain't going back.
No, I respect New York. All New York truck drivers.
Ooh, nah.
Up north. Oh, man. Yeah.
Listen, I was in Jersey, and I had to go down the street. So I'm turning. They got cars parked on both sides. It's a tight. Everybody that was in this little shop right here, and then half they came out and stood on. Like, no one offered help, but they stood out there.
We're not going to do New Yorkers like that, because if a truck turned down a wrong road, and they got the low power lines.
No.
I know, but have you ever seen what they do in that instance? They got these man-made little poles out of sticks, and they'll raise the power lines.
But you know why
they don't take your power out.
Exactly.
Right. Like they still don't do it, though.
But they ain't doing it for you.
They don't have to back up.
But that's what I had to make this turn. So it took me a good 15, 20 minutes to make this turn.
That's about how you do it anyway, though.
And one, it was others. So one of them came, she said, good job. She said, Kyle, you see everybody around, they waiting on you to hit something. They film you, they ready to call the police on you.
Right.
I said, but nobody offered no help. She said, yeah, nobody ain't offering no help. She said, but you did a good job. She said, I'm surprised you made the turn. She said, I'm just in awe that you made the turn. I was hot, sweat, and
what she look like?
The typical?
The typical.
I don't want to say that bad.
I'm about to say, he's typical.
He just did.
No, I'm just saying, she's a regular person, regular lady. Just
but good soul, though.
Yeah, she was, oh yeah. Out of everybody that was out there.
I hope she see you on this show.
And she's going to say, I remember him.
And make a comment about it, so we know what's going on.
I remember him.
What's she going to say? Oh, that's a great driver.
How long ago was it?
It was some years ago.
Oh,
no. And
you
don't even look
the same. Yeah, about you. What's you done gained a whole belly.
Yeah.
Two of 100.
That way.
I'm slim.
You slim?
Yeah.
Yeah, mentally.
Slow. When they get older, we keep telling them when they get older.
You said we can't talk about the hair, but
no, we can talk about the hair, bro.
Because you got black.
That had nothing to do with no, that. No, you know what?
Last time I said something, what he said was deemed inappropriate.
Oh.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, yeah.
You need to apologize. No, you don't. No, we, you good.
You know, the thing he said, moving on up, something like that.
No idea.
No, that was this one.
Oh, I said George.
Deluxe apartment.
No, he was just saying that all your hair grows except for right here. That's why he said George Jefferson.
No.
That's what he said.
No.
I don't see them on the bad hair day.
It's a bad hair day. My hair don't grow back no more. But see what it is, I can let it grow now. I get a fro now. It just ain't gonna be full. It might be an island.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what the George mean.
But he got a whole oasis. You too.
No, I don't.
You have a peninsula. You have a oasis.
No,
both of y'all.
I don't, sir. No, I don't. And my hair don't let my hair grow out.
Because it won't grow out. How you gonna let
my
it
grow out? It's gonna look just like my chin all the way around.
But I'm not even concerned.
You're right all the way around.
Sir, yeah. I'm not even concerned about having hair. I'm not concerned about
hair. I wasn't either.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I let mine go.
We see?
No, you let it go and it went.
I didn't fight. I know people who fight. Now y'all have seen the bowling balls. Don't talk about me. These people got bowling balls. They spray it, they wanna keep it so bad. Look here, God didn't want it.
You know who I blame for that? I don't blame the person. I don't blame him. I blame the barber. The barber know it need to come off.
But they get their money.
They have a responsibility. That's their profession. They should tell you.
No, I got a problem that.
What about a man unit? Y'all don't want
to
talk.
We don't talk about it. We don't told him he need to cut it, but he still think he's Steven.
Well, maybe you need to just try
I got some parts of that, Steve.
Maybe you need to bring up. Maybe you need to hear from a woman and she tell them, "Hey, that's gone. Let it go."
I would say something.
What is it that's attached with? I guess with men ego with hair. Some people say it makes you look younger, whatever. But
yeah,
like, it
makes you look younger.
A lot of people say hair is strength. So you probably feel like you're losing a part of yourself. But as a driver, though, I want to maintain like a bald head because it's easier. Keep up when I'm in the truck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So what about your body? You worry about your hair. You look body. You for real. You walk around like a hotel.
I'm not in bad shape, sir.
You're like a gummy bear. Come out, you ain't in bad shape.
Out, sir. What
call South Patch kid? He tall like one too.
I'm good. Everybody around me happy. I'm good. You laughing?
Yeah, gummy bear laughing.
Big boy. You laughing? Big boy.
Hey, you talking about gold.
Hair and weight and all this stuff. He swear he the...
I'm saying, because you were talking
you know
about
what? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to put that picture up your show and then work out.
No.
When this gets edited, that's going to be on there right beside you the whole
that,
video.
That ain't me.
I'm saying, since you so fit.
But I'm saying, if you stay fit, you stay young.
Where do you get that from?
From life.
And you still gonna die one day.
Yeah, you are gonna die, but I'd rather look good while I'm dying.
Okay.
You got to maintain.
You seen them boy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone.
They take steroids. I ain't say none of them steroids. I did. I ain't never take none of them. I don't need none of that. It's different.
That stuff gonna go away.
What's gonna go
they
away?
They still here though. It's gonna go away.
Like all the
muscles, yeah.
Of course it is, because they alter how they
now, he's talking about two.
Right.
He
all that muscle is gonna break down over time, sir.
And it's still gonna look good. I'll just be ripped.
Then the Mr. Fame got changed his name now.
Look at Lenny Kravitz. Look at Lenny Kravitz. He's 60 years old.
What's wrong with Lenny?
Nothing, that's what I'm saying. He's in great shape.
Good, great shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said the muscle's gonna go somewhere. Okay.
They will eventually.
Yeah, and it's gonna be looking more.
No, I'm just talking about in terms of what your body's just gonna do naturally over time. Break down.
But you can speed up the process.
Yep.
But yeah. I mean, but we're not doing that.
No, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, we are doing that. Drivers, you definitely are doing
that.
Most drivers are less active because you're sitting.
Sir, it's hard to be.
You got a high rate of diabetes.
Yeah, it's hard.
High blood pressure.
It's
you know, all that fake processed sodium, this and that. That's why they feed you candy, Red Bull.
We feed it to ourselves. No, it's hard to say.
They're feeding it to a...
We got to trust. Somebody got to...
I love...
You can get a salad.
I love candy.
All sours ain't good for you.
I love candy. Right. You know? But let me tell you something. There's more candy in the truck stop there than there is in Walmart. You find candy you haven't seen in years.
And nobody's forcing you to buy it.
What do you mean? You need the energy? You like it already? You're on the road?
Eat cashews. That's what I eat.
I try my best, you know, to at least maintain a diet. But it's still very, very, very hard.
Cashews get energy.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I was in the truck with you when I told you that. Remember? And what did I get? Cashews. Remember?
I thought you had got a sneaker.
No, he did. I said I wanted cashews.
I don't tell on you.
Yeah, now you told on me. He got two Snicker bars, a cashew, and a Coke.
I might have put the Coke with the cashew. I said I want cashews. That's what I told my water. And he come back with a Snicker. I said, I'm not going to eat that Snicker, but since you got it, put it right there, and we'll see what happened to it.
So that's why I can get out of there. Cashew, peanuts, walnuts.
And you need energy for what?
To drive.
You were driving.
I was staying. He was thinking about navigating. You remember we was doing the cabinets.
So I know what you're talking about.
I was unloading the cabinets.
Yeah.
Right. And you came at that eventually.
Wow. Oh, wow.
No, because he wasn't. I told him he didn't have to. But he came at the end where it helped. So he didn't
have to. Told him he didn't have to.
Yeah, he came.
How dare you?
No, that was real, real truck driver there of him. He was real nice of him.
For real?
Yeah, I looked at him indifferent after that. I did.
How do you look at him before this? I'm
looking at him different. You hear that? Talking about that Yamaha logo. That's how you look at me.
That broke the new dirt on that Yamaha logo, though.
No. Now, the thing about those Yamaha logos, they pay good.
Yeah, they good.
But, boy, if you don't know how to blindside or navigate traffic, they rough.
There's a spot. You be like, man, where the truck go?
And the best thing you can do is get there early before they really, for all the employees get there. So when they open them gates, you can be in there. Because when they get there before you, they're not moving cars. They're not going to do it.
And they're going to park their cars with you.
Right in your way. Yeah, right in. They don't care. You got to know how to drive. So that's a special type of lane right there. So, but I like Yamaha.
Yeah. Oh, I like that after I got the That's a good.
I read some Yamaha. I like the Yamaha too.
Yeah, I like a lot. I like the broker on it. I like everything. And that's another thing we got to still, we said we was going to do. Give a list recommendations for the brokers that we know, because it ain't just people think to just be able to have freight, but you got another component of it. You better hope that whatever broker you ran for has the ability to pay you. Yes, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody that we deal with, they pay.
Their bills. Yeah, you had to know, especially being an owner and coming in the game. You really,
I need to do a master class. I keep telling y'all.
Yeah, you want to deal with somebody that pay their bills. And so if they pay their bills, you can pay yours.
Yeah, and then some of these new pop-up, dispatcher companies.
All them on block.
Yeah, you met with them.
All them on block?
All them on block. We got the highest paying freight lanes, freight everywhere, block. I deal with who I deal with, and I haven't had an issue getting paid. And when I saw one of them may have had a little trouble paying the invoices, that's when you found what they burn.
I thought about dispatching for like a long, long time ago, but it just didn't seem sustainable to me.
It is. I mean, because a lot of people don't know how to put the dots together to make freight work for them, to put money on their truck.
Yeah,
they second guess themselves a lot.
I wasn't saying from that. I was saying more of
because the dispatcher you had. They know how to put.
Yeah, I about
he didn't know how to connect the dots.
He connected the dots. He just cross-eyed it.
We were chasing the dollar, but the dots weren't connected. You know what I'm saying?
It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. If you deal with this freight, it's got to make sense. It's got to be a well-rounded picture of what you can do with a truck. You just can't send it out there. And
just like a broker, they can make or break you. Because if you get the wrong dispatcher, they're going to definitely break you. You know, because you're spinning your wheels and
running all over
and you're not making nothing because they get their money off top.
Right. It hurt. Just sit like that.
Huh?
Look at what we talking about.
You're trying to get situated. You know, the old bones get the cranking, moving and stuff.
Can you please explain to me why he think he's so much younger than me?
Because he said, really not.
He said weeks matter.
So age is
number the number.
Right. Right. I'm just talking about the movement. You know what I'm saying? The movement and the flowing of the.
You know, I hustle more than you do.
But you move slower.
Oh no, I really do.
Now you move slower. I'm saying both of y'all hustle.
But I'm more active than him.
No, I'm more active. You more.
Yeah, when you on your MT stuff. I can't fool with
you. Hey, listen.
Maintenance therapy.
Yeah, I can't help it because I got a PhD in therapy. And people call on me. I want to see the world be better.
Roadside service.
That'd be a lick.
I think you need me
a roadside therapist. Pull up in the van, had the couch to lay out, and go on to give me what you need to talk about.
You might be on to something.
Yeah.
Why you just don't do it in the truck? Ain't nobody doing that.
In what truck?
In your semi.
Nah, it's too weird.
See, y'all joking, but that might be something for real.
That's what I'm trying to tell them. Y'all already know how we on the cutting edge, all that new kind of stuff.
Yeah, that might be something for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Told you, Doc, boy.
Nah, that ain't none of me, that's him.
That's you.
MT. No, that's all.
That was MT, but you done adopted it and made it something for real. Because I know how you are. But
you the one that's why I should be doing it by next week.
You right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, we was talking earlier, just about the state of the economy, and if you see somebody like a powerhouse like J.B. Hunt close the terminals, you got to ask why, you know?
Yeah, you was telling about that.
I think they need to scale it back. Well, a lot of times people scale back to grow. Right. I think that's what that is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they massive, cause when you go to, like, I pull the tables, when you go to the rail yard, J.B. Hunt guy, like, it's whole sessions, just day stuff. They almost like they run the rail yard.
But didn't they do something where, I think they came to an agreement where that's why they was getting upset about cutting loads because they're putting a lot of that freight coming out west on the train because it's cheaper.
Right. Yes, right. But
just because you see them here, don't mean they got stuff on. I mean, I got trailers to sit.
Being moved.
Yeah, right. They could just be sitting there. But closing terminals and stuff like that down, that's something different. And I think they're probably cutting back to be more profitable.
Yeah.
But, because C.H. Robinson just said that they grew, they margined like 24%.
So are you saying that, is that how it works? When you say cut back, meaning they want, they're...
Cut some of those expenses. Like you may have an area that's not really producing. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been really working for you. So it's cut up our foot to save our leg.
Yeah, because you don't know who I've seen it myself too.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it, they say we got a driver shortage. You are always going to find a job. I mean, you got to think we just had 30,000 truck drivers displaced when Yellow closed. I don't even know how
I don't understand how that works. So when they say it's a shortage of drivers, but you keep hearing 1,000, 300, you know, how is it a shortage? Because these people need jobs.
Right, but that's what they say. They say it's a shortage. Sometimes I'm starting to think that's a myth, too, because it can't be a shortage and then we don't have the capacity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't have freight capacity. Yeah. So how can it be a shortage if you're saying that we don't have freight or the numbers of freight hadn't risen back up yet?
I think they're using that as an excuse.
Yeah,
to keep the margin, keep our margin down.
Exactly.
While they grow deals.
Because there's nothing, it just doesn't make mathematical sense.
Yeah.
If you lose 1,000, if you're taking away, but you're not putting back because they're not getting new jobs.
Even if you're in the news, the only thing you see growth in that you hear about are brokerages. And I said it before, in terms of trucking companies, you see a lot of them closing their doors. And you got to understand, like, with Mr. Broker, at some point, you're going to have to engage trucks to pull your freight. So I think that should be a part of their growth, to engage trucking companies to grow with them. And I think that they don't care because they know new companies are going to enter the market and they're gonna always have a pool to pull from to pull their freight. And I think that that's not good business, but it's a business, business.
I think it might be a formula that they're using to, like you said, to keep our costs down as far as drivers and independent operators. Because if
you mean cost down or up?
No, down.
No, cost up.
I'm talking about rates. Yeah, you feel me? Because it seems like as long as they keep the rates down, and it's impossible for there to be a shortage of drivers. Because you have people who have their CDLs and are not driving because they're like, they don't want, you know what I'm saying, either they've been burnt out or they like there's no money in the trucking or they, you know, whatever it is. But they still have CDLs.
Yeah, but I think that also it's kind of, to me, something like when I was a loan officer. You know, I know the market crashed and everything, but the way they did it was they squeezed all the small brokers until everybody started, had to go back and work for a bank or work for a company. So if you squeeze and put it tight, so tight on the owner operators, eventually they're gonna have to go work for some other. Like, I know that he, right now, he run it, hit the floor, but he still say it's tight. So he now wanna come off the road and get a local job, but he wanna give up his choice. I just wanna go work for somebody where I could go get a paycheck and I could be home every night and I ain't got the stress and strain on repairs, on this and that. I think it's the headache is less working for a company.
But even with that being said, you're cutting the company jobs.
In some places, but some people they in a hiring burst right now. Depends on the market, the region, and the commodity. They doing really well. Yeah. So that's not everywhere. I think that J.B. Hunt is just scaling back because I think when freight slowed, if you got all these on offer, I think they had like 90,000 independent carrier companies that was leased onto them. So if you go back, redo all that, say, hey, you got to reapply, which is what they did, we're not going to accept so many people because now we can put the freight on our trucks. I think it's just a move to save, you know, a part of
it. But that's the same thing, though. We cut the owner operators, so we couldn't these two. So now we put the freight on the driver, company driver.
Right.
So now it's the company making money, and we just squeezed two out. And we're just doing it. So it's just like they reallocating the freight to their own driver. Right. And that's the same thing. It's squeezing us out as owner operators, pushing us to go work for a company because it's getting tighter and tighter into what you do next. And then you got to cut your expenses. Like if you have a major breakdown, or like you said, you were talking to a driver, said he didn't have no more money. Right. On the road. So
on the road working.
And you got the money to
eat. No food to eat.
Yeah, so that means all your money going to the switches. You can't wait. You got to wait till you get the other advance as an owner operator to eat and to move.
It ain't just owner operators. It's company drivers. A lot of company drivers in the trucks on the road, they're starving.
Yeah, but
they don't have anywhere to eat with.
Remember what you said about the numbers, though. With them starving, they get an advance from their check.
No, that's owner operator. Company driver ain't getting advance.
Company driver do get advance. Yes, sir.
They'll get advance, but in essence, it's not cheap eating out. Yes. It's in the road. So
yeah, you're talking about the advance, like $50 to $100 a week, but it costs you $150 to $200 a week to eat out.
To eat.
That's to eat some junk.
So if you really think about it, that's $800 a month probably, and people don't do the math. That's a whole paycheck for some of them that's gone.
Yeah.
Just on trying to be on the road. You know, to make money.
And that's another way that we're talking about the things that support trucking, the ones that really making money. The brokers are not spending their money back with the industry.
No.
You know, they're taking everything from, but they're not spending back with the industry.
No. They got to buy tires, they got to buy nothing they got to do with it. And then they take their money home and they home their money.
But then they'll turn around and say, well, become a broker then. It's the smarter bet. So, but I'm not a broker. You know what I'm saying? I'm a trucker. And how many
truckers go and leave and be brokers? Right. And where the truckers go?
A few are successful, but I think once you get on that side, because I look on that side sometimes and I don't like it.
No, I think he's saying if all the truckers start going brokers, who's going to move the freight?
Yeah.
You always got an influx of drivers that come to the market. That's always going to be there, you know,
I know I've said this to you before about doing like classes and really educating people about the trucking game industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like I said, the way that you think, the way you operate, you've been doing it for y'all been doing it for a very long time. I've learned leaps and bounds, you know what I'm saying, from you guys. But something, like you said, it's always an influx. But they're also making it harder for people to get their licenses too. What is that? There's a new, what's the thing called?
Oh, the restrictions and, well, they make it hard because now.
The safety.
They
make it like in a whole other safety course now.
Yeah, but but that might be a good thing, but the other part of, you know, they got the restrictions. So, like for owner operator, most of our trucks are manual. But most people coming out of school now, they can only drive automatic. They're the restrictions. So, I can't even hire a new person. God, they can't drive a stick. They, you know what I'm saying? So, it make it harder.
That goes back to education. A lot of them don't know that they have a choice to get the manual on there. They just go on as automatic. They just say, hey, this is the status quo, this is what we do. So, that's educating. And that's something that's simple. So they don't know they had that restriction on them.
Yeah, but they don't know it to the end. But the thing of it is, the trucking company probably got sticks.
Right, most of them don't.
Yeah, so you can only learn in a manual, so that means you're going to have that restriction. And we're going to make you just, so.
Do you guys think that there's ever going to get a time where there's no longer going to be manuals, period? Because
I haven't seen how they do that, means everybody could drive. No. So I think that's what they're doing. Anybody can drive
it's not just about the ability to drive. A lot of it is, you know, for fuel purposes and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And not to be distracted, because a lot of people feel like you're shifting gears, it takes away from your focus on the road.
I think it's the opposite, because if you're shifting gears, it make you awake.
For me, I'm more engaged.
Yeah, you're going to be more engaged because you got to constantly keep moving. All the better you put in the gear.
I got a bad knee now, but I'm more engaged.
A lot of older drivers have bad knees and bad hips.
Yeah. Walking sideways, get out the truck.
You used to clutch?
No, I float. Okay. But before I knew how to float.
Oh, see, I ain't never knew how to do nothing but float.
Yeah. What's your favorite word?
Which one?
I'm telling you how I drive.
What's your favorite word?
I know how to drive. I use it in a car, but not in a truck. I ain't never used the stick. I mean, to pull off.
Not for the first time you started driving trucks, so you just floating from day one.
That my partner taught me how to float from day one.
Minute one.
Floating. Because I could never get that double clutch in the right.
I think
I was floating.
Yeah, doctor pulled a hole on you. He called the cab.
Me personally, my knee was hurting. I tried it. I was doing the double clutch and I was doing all that. But it took maybe 4 days. And I was taught how to float over the phone.
Yeah, I was taught how to float.
But I didn't get into the truck just learn how to float.
Rico was the first person every time I had drive stick.
I thought you couldn't drive a stick.
He taught me how to float, so I guess he didn't teach me how to drive.
You said you don't know how to drive a stick. What you said?
I'm saying I know how to drive a manual car.
But I was teaching him. Yeah, but the problem was it was a 13-speed, so you got the split gear. But I was showing how to float, but I couldn't teach him how to double clutch. I never did. I know
how to drive a stick. Meaning, you know, I've taken loads from here to there. But that's because I'm in motion.
But you know they say it's bad to float those gears. They say it because it's designed to not clutch, but double clutch.
They say that's what it's designed for.
So they say it'll last longer if you double clutch it, which would be a lot of work every day. So I float.
What'll last longer? Your knee?
The clutch. Your knee not.
That means I need to go get me an automatic.
But like you said, they're born.
I trade.
I don't like the automatics.
I think it's more, you have more control in manuals.
Yeah.
Have you ever backed into a dock in an automatic?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I almost went through somebody's warehouse a few times, bro, because it's hard for me to gauge it. And when I'm just saying, if I'm backing into a truck stop in my space, I can almost get in just one motion. They call it one time. But when I'm in that.
Now I'm one drop.
When I'm in that automatic. Pull up, back up. It's like day and night.
I'm definitely one drop shorty. And the people that I train to drive, all of them one drop charters too. My brother Duncan, shout out to my people, them. They definitely one drop charters. I train and practice that.
Okay. You're going to have to show me, Kyle. Cap!
Yannick Ralph.
Cap!
Yannick Ralph.
Hey, no, listen, I'm telling you. So, did the person train him probably one drop shouting?
I trained myself.
Yeah.
You feel me?
So, the way he learned. Somebody gave him the keys and said, do what you want
to
do.
My trainer trained me to back into trackers when we first started. Like, he was backing into him. Like, oh, wow.
No, he's really telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Mine backed into him.
His trainer, I saw him one day. I'm like, okay. He said, yeah, I'm trying to. Then after that, I said, so what? Well, you know what? You said, hey, man, I gave that man the key. Tell it the truck down is in New York. Go practice.
Right. I went every day, sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
Sun up to sundown.
But what about a manual? Because you say you still.
No.
That was automatic. That was an automatic truck.
I know, but you said you can't drive. I know you can drive automatic, but you said you can't drive a manual, but you can drive a manual.
So this is what I mean by drive a manual. You have to be. I wouldn't go down a mountain in a manual.
Why?
Because I'm not comfortable.
You got more control of the truck than you do the automatic.
But because I know how to drive manual automobile,
right.
The concept is totally different than the truck. And sometimes it's hard to unlearn that. So naturally, when it's going down here, I was getting, you know, because I had another one of my cousins too, who he put my roll with him.
Yeah.
And
You've been around him too long.
No, what?
Railroad.
Oh yeah, no, I'm saying over the road. You know what right. I'm saying? Because it's one thing to say that you can move a truck. You know, I can move a manual truck anywhere. You know,
But what's the difference between the road and the railroad?
The comfortability, because I'm getting on the highway, going to way stations, I have to speed up, slow down, traffic. That's the difference.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Some people, like I know a guy, he could drive a manual.
Right.
But he had to use the clips that downshift. See, I still don't. I'm talking about what I tell you. I don't
but
touch
you got to engage the.
Engage.
Yeah. You got to think who I'm talking to.
No, don't do that on me.
Because I was going to say cap again, but you, at some point, you got to engage the clutch.
Yeah, when I pull off.
Okay.
When I stop.
Okay. I was just trying to say.
Yeah. Two times.
For
me, it's the comfortability. Like I said, I've been in truck with both of you guys, and I watch you guys when you guys drive. And it's second nature. You know what I'm saying? You guys do it so natural.
I wouldn't drive that next but a 13.
Yeah, but you guys, it's like an art. Yeah, y'all
float through the air. I like the 10.
I can't stand it. It's hard for me to drive a 10.
See, because you're so used to 13. Right. See, in the 13, and sometimes I don't like that you have to split the gears. See, 10.
But you really doing that in the 10, though. You got to go on the high side.
Yeah, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still is different.
Right, so the way I look at the 13 is just got that little but I call it overdrive.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's
what I was talking about too. 13 is overdrive.
Yeah, but it's easy. But you can drive a 13 like a 10 though. You don't have to flip the other switch over.
Yeah, if you got no weight on it.
No, you can do that without that.
Which was a better transmission?
Well, the person told me.
Everybody like 13. Most people like 13.
Yeah, the one who told me, he said I missed some transmission. So
you won't.
Well, that's what I was taught. So I didn't.
Yeah, because I remember, I think it was a 9-speed, an 8-speed Volvo they put me on when I first got my driver's license. And I thought it was a 10. I almost told them fuck stuff up. Because when I was coming back over, I was going on the low side and I realized it. And so I love a 13. I can't stand an automatic. A 13 is my choice.
Well, see, you've been driving so long, he should drive with a 1-0 car.
You've been driving so long,
That
was a rough truck.
Yeah, I would have been doing that.
You know, it's funny, man.
I was like, ha.
When I first started driving, the person who taught me had me terrified of mountains. Right. Because they were, and mind you, they never even drove. So this is someone who was not even a real driver, but they knew everything about a truck.
Right.
Yeah. No, he definitely knew anything about a truck. I can call him, hey, the truck's doing this. Oh, you need to do this, do that. I'm like, okay, how you know all about a truck, but you don't, you know. But anyway, he had me terrified.
Right.
I think probably the first 2 years, I never took 75 north coming out of Georgia.
What?
I always took 24. He told me it's supposed to be.
Well, 24 got miles. He got miles.
But he said the one on 75 was supposed to be worse. What he told me.
That first one coming up. What? Tell him.
Yeah, when you come back. And listen, the first time I took, I remember the first time me and Duncan were driving. The first time we went down to 75, I was like, this ninja. All this time, he had me taking an extra, sometimes 2 hours to go somewhere, and I'm like, and that's when I start realizing, yeah, now if that's why what you said about being able to reach, you know what I'm saying, our fellow peers, you got to be a trucker. You can't talk about trucks if you ain't driving a truck.
Right, right. You know, and that's the other thing too is like mountains. A lot of people don't like mountains. They won't drive through them in the daytime because they may get dizzy, but they can go through them at nighttime. So it's weird. I mean, I'm one of them. If I can drive the mountains as long as I don't look to the side. Man, and at nighttime, it doesn't bother me at all.
I had a crazy dispatcher. He gave me a load. I was in Colorado. I will never forget this. And you know, of course, trying to keep them within the ELDs that we talk about. I had a time window. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to use all my hours before, you know, before my time run out because I'm trying to get there and trying to make it on time. Anyway, I'm coming down the mountain. You know how it turns from like from nighttime to the morning and the sun come up? I'm coming down the mountain and I think I had like maybe half a mile left to go. But I was going down a mile mountain that swirled around in Colorado, you know, and it was all downhill, but since I couldn't see it, I was fine. When I seen the light, thank God that I was already to the bottom. When I seen the light and I looked up and I'm like, oh my. I just drove from what I was terrified. Yeah. And I'm a new driver.
Yeah.
I was scared of Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm. What?
What?
Oh man.
Listen. Listen. To me, it was it though. Because like I said, this him terrified me about going down the mountains. I'm on 17, Sad Flag 17 South. I'm coming off, I think, 40. I tell you, the first sign that I read, and this, like I said, I'm a new driver. It said like decline for 20 something miles. I was on the phone with my older brother. I remember this. I'm on the phone talking to my older brother. I said, "Hold on, bro. I think I messed up, or I'm reading something wrong because I know this sign did not just say decline for 20 something miles." Me being, you know, being a new driver, I panic. I'm like, bro, I gotta call you back. I didn't pull over, but I started praying ASAP. I'm praying. I'm like, oh man, because now I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking it's gonna be 20 some miles, so I have to maintain my brakes. I'm not thinking about no curb, you know. Terrified.
Well, to me, mountains only scary if you don't read the signs. If it's telling you to slow down or decrease your speed and it's coming, if you get prepared before you top the hill, you okay. Because the way I look at it, if you're climbing up one, you got to go down one.
Yeah.
So I'm always.
But see, like I said, you probably learned trucking differently. He put so much fear into me.
Yeah, he probably about to fly like, huh, hit the key, go.
I think that was probably like my third or fourth month maybe on the road.
Yeah, he did the right thing, though.
I mean, he did.
The thing that you did learn was my speed, but you got to learn slow.
Then, like, when I first, so I had trucks. And truck. Metforce kept breaking down, so I kept losing drivers. So I had to jump in the truck. Went to New York. So it had this broker said, and we were going just from the back, the upstate New York to Pennsylvania.
Was this the good great broker?
Nah, there was some other words on the news. So, and I had to go a back way to avoid the scales because I was overweight. Right. And going through that back way, you go down the side of this mountain, and it's just you. And I'm talking about, I'm like, man, this is crazy. And I was new driving, scared to death. And I should have been out there cop. The least little thing could have been it because I shouldn't have been out there driving like that. I had drove, I just had the trucks, had CDLs, but I never really drove them. So, oh,
man, you talking about.